Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. "At that time the Lord said unto me," and this is Moses speaking, "Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up to me in the mount, and make thee an ark or box of wood. And I will write on the tables or tablets the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in mine hand. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the 10 commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount, and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they be, as the Lord commanded me. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jachan to Moserah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar his son ministered in the priest's office in his stead. From thence they journeyed unto Jotgoda, and from Jotgoda to Jotbath, a land of rivers of waters. At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him." Heavenly Father, once again we're happy to break the bread of life. I pray that you give me a special blessing to be able to preach this and to teach it. And please give us understanding. I believe that there's something here for us, but I do ask your help for me and those listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been studying the tabernacle, as I said a bit ago. This is the second to last message. We're talking about the last piece of furniture, the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat that goes with it. Next time we're going to talk about the priests, and that will be the end of this series. I've preached here almost 3 years, I guess. And I've done things on the radio before and what have you, but I feel that I've hopefully laid a fair foundation, a fair framework, I suppose, for understanding the Old Testament. And I preached incessantly out of the Old Testament, showing you page after page Jesus Christ. That is the point of the Old Testament, is to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. As John the Baptist said, that he went to do exactly that, to make the Lord's paths straight. I'll ask that you remember some of the sermons that I preached before, because I'll try today to pull out all the stops. There's going to be a lot of references, perhaps initial readings of the text you won't quite get, but if you'll perhaps remember some of the things I've said before, maybe you'll remember them. Again, it's been said often that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament, the Old Testament revealed. And the fact is, old and new, the point is Jesus Christ. The point is Him. The message is Him. The topic is Jesus. And in studying for this message today, and in reading the passage that we just read, there's a few things that jump out at me. He said, again, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1, the Lord said unto me, hew thee, or cut thee. You understand that stone has to be fashioned with a chisel or what have you. Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up to me in the mount. And God did that. He took those two tables that Moses made and brought up to the mountain, and he once again wrote the Ten Commandments on those tablets of stone. And it mentions in this passage that Moses broke the first instance thereof. Because of the sin of the people, when he came down the mount, he got mad or whatever and broke the tables. But the fact is, though Moses had them in his hand and he cast them down and they shattered, it was the people, the children of Israel, because of their sin, that broke the tables. We understand that the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do this other thing, what have you. We, through sin, we're the ones that broke the Ten Commandments. Though that was a long time ago, and though that was for the Jews and not the Gentiles, the fact is, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not covet, and etc. Those things apply to us, but we broke them. But, in fact, I want to turn to it. Jeremiah chapter 31, we're talking about writing with the finger of God on tables of stone a set of laws. Again, we have the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. The word testament means covenant. But in Jeremiah chapter 31, and really the whole chapter is wonderful, but the big verse would be around verse 31. But it says that, again, starting at Jeremiah 31, verse 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. Again, we have the New Testament, new covenant, the Old Testament, Old Covenant. God says, I'll make a new covenant or testament with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, which is what we just said. Although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. In verse 34, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Again, tables of stone. We've seen the movie The Ten Commandments. Some churches will have a little thing on the wall, a plaque on the wall, that resembles tables of stone, and in English, the different laws and what have you. But he said in Jeremiah chapter 31 that there's going to come a time, and that day has come. It came 2,000 years ago. That God would write, instead of on dead stone, he would write his law on living heart. He would put his law in our hearts. But this passage I read in Deuteronomy, the word Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. Because again, the first copy the people, and then Moses broke. But he gives again the law. And again, it's the covenant, the Ten Commandments. We have a new covenant that Jeremiah prophesied about. But this second giving is a symbol of, hey, I gave you the law the first time, but there's a second giving, a second covenant, a new covenant. Now again, this passage in Deuteronomy, Moses is describing everything of the first covenant. I understand that, but the fact that it's given again speaks of when it was given, the time that counted on Calvary. Again, we have a new and better covenant as Christians. We can go into the sacrifices, and we've touched on them briefly, and at, maybe at some point I can specifically talk about the different sacrifices, but these were animals that died for men or in place of men. We're guilty, yet the animal suffers. We understand that Jesus, the Lamb of God, he's the one that suffered and bled and died for us. And again, this second giving of these Ten Commandments, it looks forward to the new covenant. But looking a little bit further into this, what we read, it mentions, as they were journeying, in verse 6, it says that on the way, Aaron died. And I'm going to talk about this more next time, about Aaron and the priests. But it says that Aaron died. We understand, and again, this looks, the second giving looks toward the new covenant, that there's a mediator of a covenant, but that mediator has to die. And we understand that Jesus did die for us. And I think it was last week that I went a little bit into detail about that. But a covenant requires the death of the testator, it says in Hebrews. We understand that Jesus died for us, and Aaron dying along the way as the covenant is given again, it symbolizes the death of Jesus Christ. And again, we're going to talk about Aaron and death next time. But Eleazar, his son, ministered in the priest's office in his stead. And again, that talks of the old covenant passing away and us walking in the new covenant. And again, a better covenant. In verse 8, at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi. And there's a lot of backstory. There was rebellion and what have you. And God had a showdown, I guess high noon kind of thing, and showed that, hey, God chose Levi, that tribe, to be the ministers in the house of God. And there's a lot of backstory. We could turn to it, I suppose. Don't have the time. But God shows that Levi was the one that God intended to be the ministers. And not just anyone can come up and offer a sacrifice, as King Saul found out. But they were to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And we've mentioned this before. In the next passage, we're going to talk about the staves that were fitted into rings, and the priests would take the two staves and put them in the rings, and four priests would get one in a corner and lift it and carry the ark and other pieces of furniture. But the ark, the covenant, the new covenant, is to be borne by the priests, the tribe of Levi, the ones that God said. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it says God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the work in the church. We don't have priests today. We have preachers, these four classes of preachers, different offices. But it's four. Often we hear on the radio, television, what have you, about the fivefold ministry. It's an invention. It's a misreading of Scripture, because if you read in Ephesians, there's four apostles, prophets, evangelists, and then the pastor and teacher. The pastor and teacher is one office. If you read it in English carefully, you'll see it counts four. If you read it in Greek, you'll see that it counts four. And here, in type, there were four priests, one in a corner, that carried the ark that contained the new covenant. Again, in type. But in Exodus chapter 5, we can turn to it and read some of it, I suppose. Exodus chapter 25, verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. And it lists all of these different things that they had brought. But it says that they were supposed to give the offering willingly out of the abundance of their heart to give an offering to God. But then it gives the detailed description of the ark in verse 10 and on, And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. And we said that shittim wood was like cedar. Maybe grandma or somebody has a cedar closet. It's a wood that's used to protect clothes and what have you. In the old days before they had, I guess, mothballs, they used the fact that the wood was aromatic and gave off what to a moth was a stink, and various insects would avoid it. Shittim wood, or acacia wood, as it's sometimes called, is like that. It's a certain kind of shrub that grows in the Middle East, what have you. But it says to make an ark of shittim wood, and it gives the dimensions. But in verse 11, that it was wood overlaid with gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, it says, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. We said that this is a picture of Jesus Christ. In fact, the entire tabernacle is. But it's wood overlaid or plated with gold. We can look at some of the other pieces of furniture. The brazen altar was this same acacia wood or shittim wood plated with brass. And that symbolized Jesus, the man, and the sins of all humanity laid upon him, and he was nailed to the cross, and he bare the sins of many, etc. He bare our reproach, etc. Man overlaid with brass, which symbolizes judgment. But in this case, it's a man overlaid with gold. We said that gold was a symbol of divinity. In the Old Testament, there were Jews that believed and had a fellowship with God. You can look, for instance, in the book of Psalms. Probably about half the book of Psalms was written by David. And you can read where he prayed, where he praised God, where he was in a big jam and he said, God, you got to help. Or maybe you can read where he was in a big jam and said, look, I just want to die or fly away like a bird or whatever. But he was anointed or smeared on by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rested upon him, but because he was under the old economy, the old covenant, he was not, as we are today, born again. He certainly lived for God. He was certainly a better Christian than most Christians I know. I understand that, but the Spirit of God rested upon him. Samson, the Spirit of God came upon him and he did all the things that he did, etc. But it wasn't in him. Now certainly, you know, God dealt with his heart. It's obvious by reading the Psalms that God dealt with his heart, but God didn't live in his heart. Now we have, under the new covenant, again, it's a better covenant, the Spirit lives in us. Paul said, Know ye not that you're the temple of God, for the Spirit of God dwells within you. But again, all of these passages in the Old Testament look forward to the new covenant. It says that this box of wood was to be overlaid with pure gold within and without. Again, that's a promise. They could be overlaid with the Spirit, but they could not be indwelt by the Spirit at that time. But this prophecy looks forward to the days of the New Testament when the Spirit comes to live within. And that's a wonderful thing. In the book of Luke and the book of Acts, we find this demonstrated and portrayed in the life of Christ. We say that Jesus did a bunch of miracles, the 3.5 years worth of miracles, all sorts of things, people being raised from the dead and what have you. The Spirit of God rested upon him. In the book of Acts, we understand that the disciples, the same Spirit that was on Christ, came down from heaven on the day of Pentecost and rested upon them. And they too could heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, perform miracles. And that is wonderful. But what's more wonderful is the indwelling of the Spirit. And I'm so thankful for it. But it says in verse 13 and 14, that, and thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, the staffs, if you want to misuse English, I suppose, staff, plural, staves. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. We understand the ark has the Ten Commandments. And again, this in Deuteronomy pictures the new covenant that was to come. God had said, look, it's going to be Levi that's going to do the work of the ministry. But these priests, these four priests, when they put the staves through the rings, they each got in a corner and lifted it and carried it. And we'll get in just a minute to where they carried it to. But they were to bear the ark on their shoulders. We're to bear the gospel. We're to bring it to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what missions work is all about. There's an imperative there. We have to bear the gospel. We have to preach it. Have to go to people that don't know God and tell them. And I would encourage you, since I'm on this subject, find, and it's hard to find these days, find books of missionary accounts and read them. If you're a Baptist, maybe Anadarum Judson, when I don't know how to pronounce his name. If you're Assembly of God, you can talk about Victor Plymire. Whoever your fellowship, whatever denomination, whoever they sent in the past to wherever jungle, wherever they went, find the account of it and read it. I read a book by the Nazarene Press of how they had gone to Haiti and they had done this and that and led people to God. You know, it's a funny thing. Most denominations, most fellowships, groups would have you. They're involved in missions work, and that's the Great Commission. They should be doing that. But it's encouraging and instructive to read accounts of missionary activity, the things that they suffered, the things that they failed at, the victories they had, would have you, but the dedication and the surrender in the heart to say, Lord, I'll leave everything I got, clean clothes, good food, I'll go to somewhere and suffer for you so that I can tell others, just like those lepers. And I believe it's 2 Kings, they found that the army had fled, and they found all that food in the tents, and they said, this is great, I'm stuffed, you got any more bacon or whatever? Yeah, but we need to go back home and tell the folks, because they need to receive the bounty too. It can't be just us four and no more. We have to tell. We have to bear the gospel on our shoulders. But then it talks about the cherubim, and thou shalt make two cherubims of gold. Verse 18, of beaten work shalt thou make them. And I've talked about beaten gold when we talked about the candlestick. Suffering is part of the gospel. And we understand that Jesus Christ was beaten, had his beard plucked, what have you, before they nailed him to the cross. And that was him. But he said, if you want to follow after me, you got to pick up your cross too. Suffering and hardship is part of the gospel. But it says to make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half the length and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. If you notice, it fits right on the ark. There's the box covered with gold, but there's a lid made out of pure gold. And then make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on one end and 1 cherub on the other end. And it says that they'll stretch their wings, and they'll look toward one another in verse 20, and they're looking down upon the mercy seat. We understand that that law was a broken law. We understand that you and I and everybody that's ever lived sinned. But these holy things, whatever they were, these cherubim or I don't know what angel, whatever it was that was fashioned on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. They looked toward one another and kind of gazed down, and they were looking. If you can understand, I can't look through the lid of a box and see what's inside, but this is a divine thing. They were looking through the lid onto the law. And once a year, the priest would come, the high priest, and he would take blood that he got from the brazen altar, and he would smear it on the lid of the mercy seat, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And in Exodus chapter 12, verse 23, it says, "When I see the blood, that death angel will pass over you." In Isaiah chapter 53, it says that when we make his soul, Jesus, an offering for our sin, that he'll overlook our sin. We understand that Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says that our sin will be washed away by the blood. By the blood. Again, broken law in the box, a lid, and fashioned on the lid, part of the lid, these two cherubim looking down, but they don't see a broken law. They see a law that's perfect because they're looking through the blood. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.